Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
We might have to start launching investigations on this show, Todd. People are so concerned, and I mean, well-deserved concern. I'm a restaurant person. I'm a bar employee. I'm a server. People are only focusing on them. What about the beautiful souls of the strip clubs, you know, business? No one's reaching out to them. No one's bringing cash to them. No one's setting up GoFundMes for Mercedes and them.
Cinnamon hasn't worked in 8 months. Where is her help? Where's her assistance?
I'll tell you what. For all of the rich dudes, because there's a lot of rich guys that go there and just get dumb with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that should be pitching in this time for real, for real. You know, maybe make it a tax write-off. Start some sort of charity for these ladies. You're not going to people's houses to give them lap dances.
Dollar bills don't grow on trees.
They don't.
That's what I'm saying. A charity for unemployed pole dancers, strippers, exotic dancers, whatever you want to call them, they're not working right now. And I think it's an important part of our economy. It has been, I mean, pretty much since poles. Since poles were invented, girls have been dancing on them. And now they're not, and people are forgetting that.
I got a fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fire department moved to the pole, they were doing the stairs. They would just come down the stairs when a fire happened. They'd wake up and come downstairs.
Right.
A couple of them went to a strip club, saw they were using the pole. Obviously, you know, firefighters have big brains. The guys look at it and going, I'm not lying here. I mean, listen. I enjoy what's happening, but this we could use one of these at the firehouse.
Yeah.
Instead of stairs right down the pole.
They were watching and enjoying the show, but then also the practical part of their brain, not the horny side, was like, did you see how quickly she got from the top of that thing to the bottom? Imagine that was a stairwell, a two-tier stairwell. How much longer it would have taken for her to get down than what that pole did.
Try to do that move with the clap of the feet, you know, that loud, what they do with the big shoes, or the big stomp coming down. Like you need to pull, you need a gracefulness mixed in with the loud, where the shoes clack together.
Yeah, I remember watching this documentary about the guy who made the first pole. And he invented the pole, basically. So his name was Andrew Pole, I think. And
Poliani, Andrew Poliani. He had shortened it.
Yeah, because he was an Italian immigrant. And
because it's way harder to say, all right, next up, we're going to get, you know, Gemini on the Poliani. You know, it's just poles. It's smooth.
Right. And I remember... It was his daughter, because he had these poles, he was making them, and they weren't catching on. People, they were like, and he's like, no, you can use these at the end of your fence to tie the fence to it to make a corner, and you could go off of it to another one of these that's set in the ground, and you can actually eventually make a rectangular fence shape. And people weren't buying into it yet. They were like, oh, I don't know. And then one day... his daughter, who I think was she 16 or 17 at that time?
17.
And smoke show. Like he had all his children, very good looking children, but especially Mercedes.
Megan. Mercedes.
Megan. You're right.
Well, her real name's Megan. Stage name's Mercedes.
Yeah. So she came up with this name, Mercedes, so people wouldn't know her real name. And she went out into the town square. And she set up this pole, and then she she fastened a second pole together and then a third pole to where it made one big long pole. And she started dancing around it and then taking clothes off one piece at a time. And it started to attract a lot of attention from the guys and in town. They were stopping their cars. They would get out. I mean, there was a paper boy who was actually killed because one of the drivers was distracted and ran him over. And that was sad. But still, it didn't stop the crowd from forming. And they ended up gathering around her, and she was up on this platform. It was almost like a stage, and she started doing her dance and taking off the clothes. And at the time, you know, dollars were a big deal, so they were just throwing bits.
Yeah, they're
just bits.
Much, yeah, nickels and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, out there in front. And then the pole became so popular because of that event, they wanted more. They were like, yeah, we want more of these. Why, where did you get these? He's like, my father has been trying to sell these to somebody forever. He invented them.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started using them for – to fasten their fencing to in order to form corners. Mm-hmm. Before that, they could just go round with fences.
Yeah.
There was no corners. Yeah.
And then, do you remember the day though that it all happened, when it all went, when it all went down?
A lot of it, a lot of it.
I remember because I was there and this song had came on. Oh shit. When that comes on, no pole safe, kid. No pole is safe when that song comes on.
I remember because they were like, what is this music? Before that, you just had old timey music. You know, we're talking about this before Prohibition. So they were like, what is this music? That's the devil or whatever. She's like, no, it's called hair band. And hair bands were really pop. People forget even before Prohibition, it had died off, and they hit it when everybody gets super religious there for a minute. But and then, you know, other bands brought it back in the 90s. But yeah, that was a big era, like a forgotten history. Like, I don't think gets enough credit.
Dude.
And that was the birth of strip clubs. And guys, they're hurting. So you're shitting on history when you say, I'm not willing to reach out and help these dancers who aren't able to make the living they used to.
This one goes out to them. This is like pouring some. All right, gentlemen, get those dollars ready. Oh, man. You know, we're not even thinking about the strip club DJ. What's he doing? All right, Jennifer, please get me a donut from the kitchen. You know, like, what else is he going to do, bro? He's talking to his lady, and that's how he talks at the house. Because you got to stay sharp. At any moment, the strip club can pop right back open.
Oh, yeah, he's coming over. Shelly, you have a phone call on line two. Shelly, line two. You know, it's wasted. That was
On the
office environment.
It's a wild scene, man. It's a wild, wild scene.
I mean,
people are just getting. You know what I love? That the dudes that go in there just to talk to the chicks. Buying songs. You're like, no. Don't give me a dance, please. Sit and listen to me talk about my family. Pretend like you really like me.
I just nodded.
So many dudes go in there and they just shit. They really think they're friends with them, bro.
Buddy, I've got one of those friends. He's got,
Venmo or money? It's never been easier to get money off these dudes either.
I hope that he broke that cycle because I haven't seen him in a few years, but he was a dude that would just, you know, sign away 3/4 of his paycheck every fucking
strip club
weekend.
Trick. This dude was a strip club trick, bro.
Making friends, you know?
Oh, just getting used, taking to the cleaners, bro.
Just falling for all the stories, you know? Oh, you know, my transmission went out in my car, and, you know, I have to take my daughter to treatments, you know, twice a day, and I can't get her to the treatments, so she's going to die in like 7 days if I don't get her to these treatments. Okay, how much money do you need? I got it. I got you. And he would fucking just.
I just need like 3,500 and it'll all be okay. And then my little doggy, he can get his little surgery and then I'll just be able to keep working. But how about Bauer's dad? Remember, I think we talked about it on some podcasts, didn't we?
Probably.
About Bauer's dad. He went in on a horse with a stripper. He fucking put down like $5,000 or $6,000 investment on a horse with a stripper, bro.
A horse is a horrible investment for someone of your own family. A daughter. Don't buy your daughter a horse, let alone your stripper.
I think he had to like lie to the mom about what happened to the $5,000 or $6,000, but he's like, yeah, it was music for investment, but it was like when Haffer's on a fucking racehorse with a stripper, dude.
Oh my God.
God damn it, bro. That is a wild move, dude. That's a wild move. 5 G's.
So glad I'm not one of those dudes that falls for that. You know, it would be easy. I get it. You get caught. I mean, you're lonely. I don't know what the root of it is, but I've never been that lonely where I'm like, you know, I don't think this girl's real goals are to be a heart surgeon. I'm not even sure
she's still in school. I've been coming here for 7 years. What is she going to be? Oh, but I mean, even night school, they graduate, don't they? At night school sometimes, like they still graduate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people used to say, huh, bro? They used to say that I'm going to, like, how come, what changed? When did they stop calling it night school?
Yeah, I think it got a negative connotation to it because night school just meant you were never going to fucking really get any kind of degree.
I'm going to night school right now. And that was just like people trying to get their shit back together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like people, like they wanted to get their shit back together, so like, go to night school, take a couple classes, go to night school.
Mm-hmm. What are you taking? Astronomy. Lovely.
I go to night school.
Office management. That was a big one. I would like.
Oh yeah,
would be
yeah.
Like,
office.
Office management. You're going to taking night classes to be a secretary. I don't think you have to have education to do that, to be honest. And I'm not degrading the job of secretary. I loved every secretary we ever had in any office I worked at. And they fucking made our lives way better, and we were better for having them. But they didn't have to go to
college.
Night school. Yeah. They didn't. They just needed the type fast.
A high school diploma. Oof, this whiskey. I'm sipping on a little Bullet right now. You know why I'm sipping on a Bullet? Because we're going to be popping off Bullets on Wednesday, on today, when this motherfucker comes out.
Yeah.
No, tomorrow. No, today's Tuesday right on the podcast. Yeah. It comes out Tuesday. Okay.
The day after.
You're listening, it's Tuesday. We're recording, it's Monday right now. This is yesterday if you're listening today. And one day from now, you're listening, 2 days from where we are, on Wednesday, February 17th, we're going to be blowing up fucking Tannerite. We're going ham. We just got off the call with our guy, with our equipment guy, and it looks like we're going to have about four, maybe five fucking four-seat Can-Am off-road vehicles, about four quads. I mean, those are four-seaters, those fucking cars.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of cars, like the little cars, but that are faster and better, but they're like the ones in war zone that you drive around in.
Yeah. They're post-apocalyptic vehicles. That's what they're ideal for.
We're going to be fucking ripping around in the snow, dude. We got an Indy driver, Indy car. Connor Daly's going to be out there with us. I think Clayton got locked in Texas. He's down. He ain't going to make it. But, I mean, we're just going to have a rocket. We're going to cook some meat, maybe do an episode of Chef.
We're going to be grilling out in about 12-degree weather and about 12 inches of snow. If this video doesn't take off, then I'm going to fucking cut off my feet. Like, this is,
because we're
bullshit.
Going hard, bro.
This is dedication. You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking.
I got
plus,
10 who, dudes I rounded up to get all their gear in fucking 2-degree weather in the middle of a snowstorm to go blast up Tannerite, blow shit up in a snowstorm? Come on!
For your viewing pleasure.
That's it. I got my lucky hat on right now. I'm ready, bro.
For every 50 views we get, we're donating $2 to the Strippers Without Poles Foundation. And it's a great cause, guys.
Just so we all know, this is not a real cause.
This is a real pretend cause that you guys can donate to. Just Google it if you can find it. I don't know if it's available on Google. You have to have Linux. You have to be using Linux instead of Microsoft. And I think you might have to be on Firefox, or it's a generic version of Firefox called FireDog. If you use Linux machine and you're searching the internet on FireDog, you can find Strippers Without Poles. And it's a really good charity. I mean, it's everything we're talking about before. Nobody thinks about the guy strippers. This isn't a sexist thing.
How about them?
How many male strippers can't work? Those are the ones that are really fucked. I don't know if you know this about male strippers, but they have no other skills. They have no other chance in life.
They got nothing.
I mean, I think 90% of them died.
You know what happened, though? A lot of their rods healed up because they come home with bruised up cocks. Those guys are slapping dick around, bro.
Mm-hmm.
People are catching fucking welts.
Yeah.
People get knocked out. They get woozy. You'll catch a side of a neck. Next thing you know, you're down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go down at a male strip club. That's the thing people don't get. I went to a couple just for fun. You know, they had a good drink prices. I wore a helmet.
Oh, you got
I wore a helmet in. With the lenses and the thing, because I don't want to, you know, I just want for the good price, you know, the good atmosphere and the good cocktails, you know?
You take a cock to the side of the head, like on a quick turn.
That Nick kick.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. I mean, I remember my mom had three fractured vertebrae.
Yeah. I remember we were at home hanging out, and your mom had came home in a wheelchair and a crutch at the same time, which I had never seen someone so hurt that they were on crutches in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it was her 50th birthday, and happy birthday, you know, sitting in this recliner for 3 weeks and let your neck heal up. That's what, I mean, you gotta go prepared. Bring the equipment. There's fucking giant cocks flying around at every male strip club.
I almost suggest taking a boxing class to learn how to bob and weave a little bit better before you go to one of these places. You know, nice little 6-week course over there at fucking a fitness, whatever, a boxing fitness course, you know, get on Groupon, get a good deal.
And
get you in there bobbing and weaving before you walk in there and start getting smacked in the mouth with a cock. You don't want that to happen.
And keep your head on a swivel, you know. Don't get focused on one direction only. Constantly check your peripheral. Hell, check your
learn how to parry.
Clock. Yeah.
Learn how to parry, bro. The idea of by the way, a parry is when someone punches at you and you slap it down. That's called a parry, when that way you open up for the overhand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the idea of parrying cocks is a wild fucking idea. Essentially, you're just walking in swatting nutsacks around.
Yeah, at the very least, learn to move with the cock, you know? So that way, you want to be able to go with the blow, and then, you know, the danger of getting knocked out is when there's counter resistance, and you don't want to do that. Throw up a hand, move with it.
Yeah. That's where the original term blowjob came from, because before it meant you were getting the fucking smacking the cock to the side of the cheek. And it was like a blow. You were taking a blow because they're large penises.
Mm-hmm. And then you were having to take off work. So it affected your job. Yeah. People forget that, you know. And I'm not going to tell you how to unwind and how to relax. You know what I mean? If the strip club is one of those ways that you do that, just go prepared. That's all we're saying. There's easier ways, to chill out and relax and unwind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always recommend 3G. 3G it works perfectly for me. I mean, this is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. And, you know, if every time you say, hey, would you like to go watch dicks flying around to relax? Or would you just like to sit here and take some 3G, partake into some 3G? Then I'm going to take
I'll go with the 3G.
Yeah.
3G every single time. That's Delta 8. It's a federally legal version of THC. That's why I'm choosing it, Todd.
Oh, yeah. And you're choosing it because it's formulated by biochemists right here in the good old USA with USA grown hemp. USA! USA! When they release these Delta 8 products, They were the first, Sean. They were the first federally legal THC products sold in the U.S. since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago.
Yeah. In the USA, made in the USA, USA grown hemp. 100% USA action. If we're this is not only a great product because of what it is, but also where it comes from. And that's you know you're dealing with the real deal.
Thank you. Its effects are a perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9, giving it a similar buzz and all the medicinal effects of Delta 9 without the laziness, anxiety, paranoia, or mental fogginess. You know, then I'm not talking about the mental fogginess you get after taking a giant dick to that side of the head, like my mom did.
No,
I'm talking about the mental fogginess associated with some strands of the Delta 9 where you just, you just can't focus. You know what I mean? We've all been there.
Yeah, what's going on here? That's what I love about it. You know what I mean? You're going to be more outgoing. You're going to feel increased confidence. Almost none of that anxiousness, paranoia, none of that, bro. Okay? This right here, that's because you got that Delta 9. That stuff doesn't exist with this.
Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC. It's more of a functional alternative to marijuana for those who want the same great feelings without any of the negative side effects. It'll have you feeling amazing, yet be functional and clear-headed instead of lazy and paranoid. Think of it like a really good pizza. Three cheese Delta 8 is 100% hemp-derived, federally legal, and available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And
guess what?
At select retailers around the country. What's the other part, Sean?
I'll tell you this. This is how you know it's the real deal. You have to be 21 to purchase it, okay? You got to be ready. You can't – you can't just think you're ready for 3Chi. You have to be ready, and you also have to be old enough, and that's what it is. If you do this operating responsibly, go to 3Chi.com, the number 3Chi.com, to shop for your Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Let's go, bro. Put it in the butter. We're making brownies. I love to make pasta with it, bro. I'll whip up a nice little butter pasta, throw in some, you know, some 3Chi. I'll put some Parmesan cheese in there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe throw in a couple of spoonfuls of some peas, maybe some leftover rotisserie chicken. You know what I mean? Some butter, olive oil, or maybe a little Old Bay, salt, pepper, more 3Chi. It's on.
Why don't you take that and put it in my buffalo mac and cheese? It's my favorite dish in the world. If you could do that for me, Sean, I'm in heaven.
You know what that's going to be called, Todd?
What's that? That's
called buffalo mac and 3Chi's. You see what I did there?
Oh, the buffalo mac and 3Chi's. Only available if you use the tinctures to make the butter from 3Chi.com. And when you're doing that, use the code GUNS at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Again, you must be 21 to purchase because it's legit. And Sean, if they want to follow these people on social media, they're very active.
Yep.
I mean, great social media accounts. They're a great follow. And it's at all three, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just go to at the number 3CHICBD, at 3CBD.
And when you get there, just tell them what up from us, dude. Tell them what up from us. Tell them
go ahead and get on their social media right now after the show. No, pause it. Just do it right now. Pause it before you forget. Tag something great about their product. Say hello. Tell them how much you love hearing us explain how awesome they are. Tag them and tag us so they know that we're believers. And we are. I have a table full of this stuff. I can't get enough. Those gummies set me right at night.
I love them, bro. I love them. My lady loves them, too.
Right? They're perfect.
I got a big week tonight. I'm doing also next week early on. I got loss prevention tryouts. I got some guys just going to kind of – I think I'm going to give out a fake certificate that authorizes them, but when they get there, they're going to realize it really didn't authorize for shit. But I just want to see guys try out to be loss prevention.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had spoken about this before, but it really rang true to me. So I got guys coming over, and they're going to tackle would-be shoplifters, not thrift shoppers. Those guys pay.
Yeah.
Shoplifters. So, you know, look, it's Valentine's Day. I'm looking out for everybody. You know what I mean?
I think it's great. So you're basically going to have like a loss prevention academy going on.
Yeah, yeah. But you only get fake credentials that you could just.
Sure.
Hopefully that, you know, maybe it'll catch on. Maybe some of the businesses will respect our camp and what we're doing. If not, it will.
I mean, if we all looked out for shoplifters, there'd be way less shoplifters. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what I used to do when I was a kid? When we would steal baseball cards, I'd put a rubber band around my fucking arm right here, bro. Around my my jacket.
Wrist. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my wrist. The wrist part. And then I'd open up my jacket and just start filling up the inside of my coat sleeve with baseball cards.
Yeah. Baseball cards at one point were the number one stolen items in the country. Oh, I mean, they
especially at like Walgreens and shit.
Come on. Come on. But everybody.
We'd buy like two packs. But I would probably have about 30 packs in my arm.
That's the key. Buying something while you're in there. You know what I mean? You don't just walk in, mill about, and then walk out with a fucking jacket full of baseball cards. You got to spend some money in there. Take the suspicion off of you. But
my
other
buddy, definitely. I mean, I was a little kid. I learned my lesson, but
see something, body slam.
Say
somebody.
Something. Oh or yeah, body, and then body slam someone. How about a nice fucking clean body slam to a stranger would be? How good does that feel?
How about that video of that lady tackling that dude? Do you see that? I forget what
Holy
he did.
Balls. But she, I don't know, but wow. That was clean. What form, bro. I never seen anybody close in so well on a video.
It was fucking, I think he was a peeping Tom.
Maybe Jerry
Tom.
Can bring it up. Yeah, yeah, peeping Tom and a 15-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Jerry might be bringing that up. But that fucking hit, what? I mean, look, we're like a week late on this, but that was just the way she closed in, lowered her shoulders, got her center of gravity right where it needed to be, and fucking made contact right in the middle of the center of the torso, and just drove through, pulling the legs up. It was a textbook tackle. Shout out to that lady for probably the most flawless female tackle on a would-be piece of shit that I've seen in quite some time.
I want to know her background now. Like, why are you so good at tackling? Like, did she play? You know, one time I had my cousin, Donita, she played semi-pro football. With that women's semi-pro football team here in Indianapolis for a while. She played on it. Does she have a background in that? Did she play women's hockey? Did she just have brothers that she grew up with that like to terrorize her? I want to know the background. Why are you such a good tackler of men?
Here we go. Texas woman. Well, there we go. Number one, it's a Texas woman. They don't fuck around down there. Boom!
Here it is. Takes an angle.
Look, on top of him. And here comes the cop.
Oh, my God. He was running from the cops?
She was running a zone D, bro.
Ah. He was running from the cops. Commercial. We got these fucking State Farm ads.
Yeah, going ham on State Farm. Going to the rack on that trampoline.
And all right, little baseball clip.
Nice here. That's in the
world. Oh, good hit.
All right, we're gonna come back to that.
Running from the cops. Two cops were chasing this dude, and he goes around the car, and she comes at him at like a 45-degree angle. Hits him, and not like a double leg, not like high on the thigh. Mm. She hits him like right in the solar plexus almost and wraps him up.
And she's running almost a zone D back there in a nickel.
Yeah, take that back just a little bit. This is the after pile on.
Look at the other person trying to get some fucking. Boom! Wrap up, dude. This person that rolled up at the end is holding on to the dude's head. Get out. Get out of the fall. Well, this guy doesn't exactly look like a fucking terror, but I mean, come on, bro. He could be a shifty guy.
Yeah.
You don't know how shifty this dude is. He could be a light on his feet. You know what I mean?
I mean, 120-pound meth addict. Strong as fuck. You don't know what he's into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking strong. They're like monkeys.
I will say this. It does take some balls to try to pull off a tackle like that, because anybody that played high school football is automatically, boom, hitting her with the fucking stiff arm. And then next thing you know, you're one of Derrick Henry victims. You know what I mean? On those one of those big Derrick Henry around the corner stiff arms where he takes a dude, fucking launches him off into the sidelines.
Yeah.
This lady could have been, this would have been complete opposite. She would not be living this life of fame, probably doing her rounds on all the talk shows. She would have been a laughing stock for trying to be a hero and getting fucking stiff armed, and the guy gets away on foot. Because that cop didn't look like a powerhouse on foot either. Did you see the cop come running up all looking like fucking Opie and fucking Opie, what's his name? I don't know.
You talking about Barney Jesus. Fife? And
Barney Fife comes rolling around. Hold on, stop!
The fucking foot chase, though. You got to give it to, like, they give you too much gear. You're carrying around an extra 40 pounds on your fucking body.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to run people down. But then every now and then you see one of those cops that fucking was a running star running back in college or shit, and he lets loose on a dude. And he's, I mean, those are my favorite to watch. Just I really love.
Well, you did that when you had your series where you were doing the voiceover on it and the commentary. That was that one cop that did the fucking that caught up somebody from like 50 yards back.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean it's great. It's a crapshoot. One time we were in LA, we were in Starbucks at Silver Lake talking to some motorcycle cops. And we were asking them some questions like, listen, what are you doing? Dude, just take off, man. Like, what's the move here? Are you just chasing everybody down? And then one guy was like, bro, I retire in a year. I've stopped chasing fools.
Yeah.
If you have the balls to take off on me, you're scot-free, kid.
Yeah, I'll catch you next time.
So, you know, it's a thing, but also the gamble's so high. Like, in California especially, they love a good car chase in that place, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing will captivate a fucking town better than a classic old school all networks coverage car chase.
Seems like they have a one per week at least.
Oh, on dude. The news. You know why? They don't do it in New York because you can't fucking do it in New York. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. There's nowhere to drive. You're getting jammed up in every corner.
Right, right.
L.A., it's wide open, dude. It's fucking, if you got the right vehicle, it's on.
Yeah, if they have an extra lane for you can take over too.
If you can get over a median or two, bro, you're fucking on it. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a nice move by that lady, fucking taking them down.
Proud of her.
And that other lady, quit trying to get credit. Like, you're going to say we took him down. You didn't do nothing. You just held his ears when the lady took him down already. Fuck out of here.
She already knocked the fucking air out of his lungs. You just went over in there and fucking put your hand on the back of his head. We got him.
Oh, dude. How about that guy's, any of that guy's friends that have a set of nuts? If they don't lay into that kid, bro, you got fucking taken down by like a lady that never, I mean, she just looks like a lady from the neighborhood, bro. She don't look like that much like she's out here at fucking 24-hour fitness 5 days a week.
No, she looks like she just left her garage sale. Like literally she was taking $2.50 for a fucking rake she doesn't use anymore and put the money down on the table and took off after him. That's what she looked like.
Well, what happened was he only put down $2. He didn't put the 50 cents down. And then he fucking made a move and he was on his way to another yard sale and she took him. She got him. She shook him down for the 50 cents.
You know what's hilarious is when he's in jail and he's in there trying to be all tough like you got to be when you first get there. And this is playing on the TV in the fucking common area. And that clip shows over and over and they see his fucking mugshot and they know it's you. Like, what do you do then? I mean, you're just
get laughed at.
You're getting sodomized like over and over and over just for fucking being a pussy.
How's it going, little Bo Peep?
So we got tomorrow we're going to buy maybe a gun or two. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to, I got to get a little bit more Arctic gear. I did find some good gloves in my garage, but I just want to get some of the neck warmer thing. I can pull over shit like that. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, that shit's after about cold, 20 bro. Minutes of being out in it, it starts eating through shit. So I just want to make sure I'm airtight. Plus, I found a holster for you. If we have extra time to go by the, it's called Stephen R. Jenkins. It's a police supply store. You might be able to get a web belt to go with this holster. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's
see if we have time or not.
Or I maybe one of those ones I could just fucking pull from right here.
There you go. Like a cross draw shoulder holster.
Yeah.
I got one of those.
That's what I need.
I got a nylon camouflage shoulder holster.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll take that one.
I'm not kidding. It's
dude,
my
we got AR-15s. We got all kinds of guns coming out there. We're going to blow up Tannerite, dude. We got three of those Can-Ams. I'm so excited. Four or five quads. The homie, he's a top salesman for a roofing company. And then he basically had, he had some classes tomorrow and he ain't making it. And then the owner was like, fuck you, I'm coming too. So now he drugged the owner and the owner's bringing all his stuff. And we're all heading down there. And it's going to be electric, bro.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
We got to brainstorm tomorrow. What can we do that we can add to it? You know, that's what we got to do tomorrow while we're hanging out and doing our errands. How do we add to this? How do we make it doper?
Maybe we could build an igloo. Like, I've never built an igloo before. Maybe we can watch YouTube videos on how to build our own igloo.
Yeah, bro. I like it.
And spend all night in there. They say they're warm. If you build them right, your body heat pretty much keeps you from freezing to death.
In what? If you have what on?
An igloo. If you make a proper igloo.
Oh.
Sleep in it.
Maybe we fucking do a podcast in an igloo. No, I think because I'll still bring my little box in my mic. Because maybe we can do a podcast out at your bar in the fucking snow or something on Thursday morning. Because we got to get, definitely the podcast is going to post a little bit late on Thursday.
Yeah, just because know of, that.
We can have, yeah. And I mean, unless we pull some shit out of our ass late as fuck Wednesday night after we do all this stuff, driving home and everything and getting back to our normal temps, then, I mean, we could possibly pull it off, but I doubt it because then you'd have to edit it. Mm-hmm. Before the morning. So we'll probably do this the next podcast Thursday morning.
Yeah. And maybe outside and just, from
the next one will be out. Yeah. For the bar. Shed bar. And then we'll just post this like late Thursday. It'll come out Thursday late.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. I wonder if we can get an RPG.
Is that I've legal? Never... I know it's legal in Vegas.
An RPG is?
Jared, are RPGs legal in Indiana? I say no.
I know
they're legal in Vegas. I know they're legal in Vegas.
How are they legal? They're explosive.
You see Dan Blazarian? I mean, I don't know. Actually, I'm going to be honest. I don't know they're legal in Vegas. I just see him blowing up so much shit, and he has such big guns. I'm like, dude, how? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go. I'll go to fucking Syria for a little while. Let us launch off some stuff.
If we can find an arms trader. A good arms trader that's dealt a lot with the Syrians, you know, the Lebanese, those folks. We could really have some fun because RPGs just always look so cool to me because they take off so slow and they speed up.
Oh, like I love
shoot
it.
Through a window and the house blows up. That would be cool.
What's his name in fucking American Sniper when that little kid pops off with, I mean, little kids always somehow fuck around and have an RPG in military movies. Yeah, always like, no kid, put it down. And then the guy has to make a fucking life changing decision. And you're like, oh no, what am I going to fucking do? This kid's got an RPG aimed at our fucking tank, but he's only six and I'm going to kill him. Oh no. Now I gotta live with that forever.
It looks like they are legal. If functional, it requires a class 3 permit.
Firearms license? We need a class 3 federal firearms license.
What do you have? What do you have? What do you have, Todd?
I have zero. I just have a gun permit in Indiana.
Oh.
And then every time you buy a rocket, you have to pass it through the class 3 firearm stuff as well. So every time you use one, it knows. Mm-hmm.
They're tracking them.
All right.
Well, I guarantee you we could go out somewhere in New Mexico and fire them off and nobody will know. And probably find a guy to buy them from. Fuck it. And then on our YouTube video, we'll just put a little thing that says rockets are not real, CGI or some shit like that.
Yeah. Psych. As far as, let's address the rockets. Psych. They weren't real. It's called CGI. Know your shit, dude. Did you have a good little Valentine's Day, Todd? Did you have yourself a nice little Valentine's Day?
No, we agree that it's just not a holiday we recognize, you know, other than, you know, happy Valentine's Day, whatever. But we don't go all out and do crazy stuff. We just kind of hung out.
That's good.
Watched a movie, you know?
Hey, nothing that's not crazy. A bad gig.
Ate a little bit of candy.
You know, make some candy, make some love, watch some TV. You know what I mean? Look, what more do you want?
That's what it's all
maybe
about.
Maybe eat some sort of food out of a bag together.
Mm-hmm. I used to go all out for it. And then I was like, I'm being stupid. Like I was, yeah. I remember one year I bought, when we really had it going on, I bought one of my ex-wives like a fucking $600 fucking purse or some shit for Valentine's Day. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
When that's I look a back Christmas now, gift.
Yeah, that's totally a Christmas gift. You don't spend $600 on Valentine's.
I mean, that's a maxed out Christmas. I mean, for 90% of us, that's a maxed out monster fucking gift.
Yeah, I mean, that's two TVs, $600.
That's 48-inch fucking TCLs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Fuck that.
I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing? You need to fucking walk around and pretend like you're a socialite, or can we watch games in comfort and style?
Yeah, I'll just send you a meme, and when you get home, we can watch a movie. That's Happy Valentine's.
You know, and you could go to restaurants, you can cook. But more importantly, I feel like it's just about how you eat, isn't it, Todd?
I think so. I think it is how you eat. It's very important, you know?
It all comes down to how you eat, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's this is what it's about. It's about specific goals you want to achieve. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think everything, like everything that you've ever learned, you've learned about getting healthy anyway. There's a lot of contradictory information out there, you know, and you have to keep that in mind. And think, you know, things like that old fashioned food pyramid.
Those are the worst, bro.
Yeah, that's back when we learned that Columbus discovered America and that Pluto was a planet and the cigarettes were good for you. All these things they were telling us at the same time, too. So you got to be careful.
That's what I'm talking about, though. This is where Noob comes in, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You could skip all of that stuff. You could skip the food pyramids. You know, you know how to chew. You probably, maybe, kind of know how to use chopsticks. You know how to fold a slice of pizza so the cheese doesn't slide off and get you that perfect bite, right? You know how to have a bowl of ramen, get a piece of meat, a little bit of the jalapeno, grab some of the cilantro and some of the noodles and get that perfect bite. You know how to do that.
Yeah. Do you really know how to eat? That's the question. Noom says if Guess you want what? To lose weight, it's not about one thing that you ate today, but how you eat in general.
And what you need is Noom in your life. N-O-O-M. Noom. This is it. You're no longer getting questionable food advice, okay? You're getting the real deal. I don't need your corny advice. You don't have to tell me to eat fruit before a meal, no food at the 10. Let's be honest, okay? I'm not even sure if that's actually good advice, Todd. Who told that person that that was good?
Yeah, I don't know either, because based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat so you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick with them long term. That's what I'm more interested in, because you don't need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge, dummy. You need knowledge, food for your brain, not only food for your stomach. And with Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, not what everybody else is telling you is right for them. Hey, try this. It worked for me. I don't care. How about somebody actually do the research and pick health goals that are exactly right for me? It's personalized. A weight loss program personalized by Noom to help you make your aspirations become reality.
And that's what we're doing here. Noom is a product that's going to help us get to the next level. Okay, you're going to be eating better to feel better, understanding your cravings, knowing how to shop, knowing no food is quote unquote bad. Okay, if you want more energy, you can enjoy exercise again, you could fit better into all those clothes you spent all your hard-earned money on, then this is where Noom comes in. This is your guy. This is the person that's going to help you. Noom is like the thing that's going to help you do what you're capable of, and it gets you on track. You know what I mean? Feel more comfortable. Feel better in a crowded social situation.
Spend 10 minutes a day, right? That's all this program requires. Spend 10 minutes a day. The tone of the program, how easy food logging is, how nice it is to see, and the chart progress, all that stuff, the proof's in the pudding. And I'm not using that as a pun. Like, the proof's in the pudding. Mm. Just try it. 10 minutes a day. Give it a chance. I think when you look at all those things, you're going to be very happy with your decision to go with Noom, because it's the forgiving, empathetic nature of the program that sells it. How Noom works, like specifically with your lifestyle and how you don't have to commit to some crazy rigorous plan, all that is why we're recommending this to you. It's a lifestyle decision surrounding food going in your mouth.
Yeah, it's based on psychology. That's just what we're talking about, okay? Noom teaches you why you make the choices you do, and it gives you the tools to replace your habits with healthier ones. This is what it is. We're talking about Noom's cognitive behavioral approach. This means you're not only losing weight, but you're building habits to keep the pounds off. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't, oh, if I do this, it's going to work. Noom is here to help you change your mindset and what you're doing. Noom's forgiving because you're human. If you get off track, don't worry. You're back on tomorrow. This, you can't just be cold turkey. Noom's here to hook it up. Everyone's busy. That's why Noom doesn't even demand that much of your time. Only 10 minutes a day because we're busy, okay?
Proven success. Over 80% finished the program and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. Come on, it works. The stats are there. So listen, there's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M. That's Noom.com/guns blazing. Noom.com/guns blazing. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/guns blazing. You ready to learn how to live healthier? Then sign up for Noom today. I'll say it one more time. Noom, Noom.com/guns blazing. Get it today. I tell you what, we're getting smarter as a society. We're not just like, ooh, here's your diet. Eat exactly this on Monday and eat this on Tuesday or whatever. You're training me the proper way to eat. I mean, we're getting better at stuff. You know, it's turning around. Now let's tackle this global warming thing.
Better at stuff, guys. Okay. That's the goal here, this podcast. Are you getting better at stuff? Todd, my goggles landed at your house and my little vest I got. You got another package coming for the kid.
Nice. I got like 8 boxes stacked in there. So,
hey, ready to fucking roll, bro.
There's a bunch of them have warnings on them that this contains lithium batteries. I'm like, okay.
I don't know what I got. I think, yeah, that was from all the little GoPro. Well, they're not actual GoPros. They're like knockoffs. But they got a fucking, these little buddies have monster reviews. So I'm not hating. 1,700 reviews, 4.5 stars.
Wow.
For these little Dragon Touch cameras. And guess what? For $40, thank you. I'm not buying four cameras for $400. Eat a bowl of shit.
I'll buy four of them.
Huge bowl. No milk, water. Okay. These are 16 megapixels, bro. 4K action cameras. They're $40. That means that GoPro is asking everybody to nicely please bend over and touch your toes.
Take it
up. And then they're grabbing, grabbing a shoulder with their strong hand. Okay. They're grabbing a hip with the left hand and they're giving it to his raw dog because these cameras, this fucking 10,000 reviews, actually, I'm wrong. 10,000 4.5 stars, bro. Give me a break. This is all I need. We're going to strap them to these cars. We're going to fucking roll around the winter forest. We're going to blow up Tannerite.
Have you blown up Tannerite before? Did I even ask you this?
No, that's why I'm so excited.
It's pretty cool.
Now,
pretty cool.
One time, 4th of July in Indy, maybe 2017, I think. We were at the True Bloods house, and I have the Snapchat, but somewhere if I dig in the crates. But somebody brought over one of the loudest fireworks I've ever heard in my life. It looked like a bomb went off over there in Old Town Indy and fucking just by there, by 16th and Central by down there. I forgot where I lived, Delaware and whatever. But they set that off, bro. I know that the True Bloods got about 10 to 15 complaints from the fucking homeowners association, the neighborhood people. And I had never, I laughed so hard. It was so loud that it just killed me because it was so fun. Like that shit kills me. When somebody does some shit that's so over the top like that, I just can't help my laughter. And I, like when you kick Nick in the head, bro, like, but imagine that on steroids. And that's how we fucking died laughing because he did it again right after
that. Yeah.
It sounded like the fucking bomb went off in the neighborhood. It was unbelievable.
I remember we were way out in the country. We were at my buddy's house, and we decided that we were going to have, you know, 4th of July there. And I was married at the time. Everybody brought all their kids and stuff. We were laying out there, and my buddy Jason had his best friend who had like a Class 2, maybe even Class 3 federal firearms license, bring some real fucking fireworks like that you would see at like Thunder over Louisville and shit, like time fireworks shows. So he brings, dude, a truckload of this shit. They spent thousands of dollars. We all chipped in. So I think it literally was like he spent like $4,000 between all of us chipping in. So he's setting up mortars, dude. I mean, mortars out there. Like, they look like mortars. And tubes sticking out of the ground and shooting them up. Some of the – dude, they were so loud. Like, the kids were crying and shit. Like, they were – they sounded like bombs going off all around. It sounded like war. Like, you had post-traumatic stress afterward. It was like it hurt me when they went off the – I could feel it all the way through my body. We're holding kids, and they're like, make it stop, make it stop. And they're just out there, boom, 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 boom. Well, they weren't going high enough or some shit. I don't know what was going on, but everybody called the police. The fucking two police cars show up, and they get out, and he had to show his federal firearms license. And they're like, okay, well, there's nothing we can do about, you having them, but don't fucking fire off anymore, man. Like, you don't even understand the car. With like, people thought like something was legitimately wrong. Like, planes were dropping bombs, and it's even 4th of July, but it was so loud for the neighbors. They were like, this isn't real fire. This isn't fireworks. These are explosions. So it was fucking hilarious.
It's so funny, dude. It's the funniest. I was just laying there dying. It's so funny. When shit just blows up that loud, bro. I just can't get enough of it. I don't know why it makes me laugh so hard.
Did you ever have bottle rocket wars with your friends?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The best. Everybody gets a bottle, put the bottle rockets in there, run around, shoot them at each other.
Also with fucking Roman candles.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those were good too.
Just do some dumb shit. Especially you hillbillies, man. You guys, you always trump me with some, like, you always have pull out a sweet ass hillbilly ass story that I just love.
I mean, hillbilly kids, like, should all be
they're
dead.
Having the most fun.
But they should all be dead.
They're more, it's a stronger kid. Mm-hmm. They're making stronger kids that can, more resilient. They're going to see things and be able to fucking take it to the chest more. Bro, little kids launching off bottle rockets at each other. They're not doing that shit everywhere. In the suburbs, not too much. It's hillbilly stuff, dude.
I remember my one friend tying a rope to a metal rafter in this barn. And this is a huge barn. They were big-time farmers. Well, they had a hayloft on each side. But when you walk down the middle, it was open, right? So they fucking went up there, he and his brother, and tied like a rope to this middle beam that went up at the peak of the roof, and then got on one side of the hayloft and ran across like to swing with the rope to the other hayloft over this big, like, if you fall off this rope or that rope snaps or the timber that it's tied around snaps, you're dead. I mean, you're dropping almost like 2.5 stories on bare concrete. And I was like, you guys, no way I'm doing that. I just sat there. I had to run out at some point. I'm like, you're all going to die if you do this. Like, I wasn't that type of kid where I would do some dumb shit. But I'm like, I don't like heights, first of all. But I'm like, I'm not swinging over this fucking 25-foot space, 2.5 stories up on some twine that you found in the barn and tied around this fucking rafter. Like, no fucking way. But they did it, and they lived.
Just fun hillbilly stuff, dude. Dude, I want to talk about something I think we could close with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's already like a week old, but it got so much love, and it's so funny. Did you see Bailey's Chazard video?
Yeah.
Chazard!
Chazard.
How pumped. If you could bring that up, Jared, that'd be cool. But how funny, like, he's literally finding a niche in Twitch to fucking do Pokemon cards and, like, get views.
No, he fucking rocks it in Twitch, dude.
Yeah. Dude, he fucking goes and he kills it. People are watching him and he fucking, the reaction videos, people. I know I saw the clip from the pod, obviously, from their Twitter. And I watch it so many times, bro. It's so funny, his videos and his like reaction videos to fucking Pokemon cards with the Charizard. That one killed me, bro. And he dropped it on the ground. Oh man, bro. He posted up his ladies' press. I love watching Bailey grow on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
He's growing a lot. Yeah,
it's getting to the point now. Did I tell you this? Like one guy hit me up and he was like, "Hey, I just started listening to all your podcasts. I just found you because I saw you had the last name as Bailey McComas, so I thought I'd look into you." Like, I'm like, motherfucker, like now Bailey's getting, you know, I'm getting spinoff from Bailey versus like, and I was like, hey, you don't know who I am. I was like, I got Bailey that job. What are we talking about?
Everybody in that office is about to pass us on Twitter.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For those who haven't, at least, but Bailey's just crushing it on fucking. He got his lady that sweet vacuum and a Nintendo Switch and shit. You know,
yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful, dude. It's so beautiful. It's so because it's such a like a legit reaction. It's real. You know what I mean? It's here it comes.
He's all into that shit, man. Always has been.
33,000. Here it comes. Unmute it.
He's going through card after card.
Oh,
he's there's no sound.
There's no sound. We can't hear it.
Yeah. Oh well. But yeah, it's good. He fucking goes through, I don't know what, 7 cards one by one. And the thing of it is, I love the video and stuff, but I don't even know if that's good. Is the Charizard good or is it bad? Like, I know it's nothing good. About no, Pokemon. Good.
Oh, I don't know about it. I just buy his reaction.
Yeah, that card's worth like $200 to $500.
So that's why he's happy. It's a valuable card. Okay. So what do you spend typically, Jarrett, on a pack of Pokemon cards? Like,
I don't know. Let me check quick.
Probably $5 or some shit.
Just to get everybody up to date.
And he said that he went to like a special store in Indy for him. So,
okay. I got you.
Keep everybody up to date. Bailey McComas is the offspring of Todd McComas, the co-host of this podcast. And he works over there with Pat. He's running the YouTube operation. And he's now Twitch gangster opening Pokemon cards. And when he gets these wild cards, he's so pumped. So it's because he's like, you know, he's got that nerdiness with the Pokemons. And it just fucking crushes.
Looks like a pack is anywhere from like $4 to $10.
Wow, dude, I'd be happy. I'd probably be shitting my pants too.
Yeah.
If I got fucking $250 card.
Here, I'll play the sound on my phone.
It's funny.
Fucking Charizard.
Chitot. Joltik. Cottony. Mudbray. Reverse holo. Ew. Pikachu!
Oh, that's a different one. That's so funny. So,
Pikachu.
Pikachu! That one has 79,000 views, dude. Here's this one. Is this it? The fucking. Oh, that's the fucking actual pod. Hold on. I don't know, but it's fucking beautiful, bro. That's all the boys from the pod, but.
That nerddom's paying off, man. It plays well on Twitch. Plays well on social media, evidently. So maybe he's found his fucking niche here. You know?
I tell you what, Twitch ain't easy. Shit ain't easy, dude.
No, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. But also, it's built for, you know, he's right. He's at that age, man. It's 24, 25 year olds.
Yeah.
He knows what works because he's one of them.
Well, we're going to blow up some stuff in a couple of days, Todd.
Yeah, tomorrow. We don't have a Charizard tomorrow. Or a Pikachu, but we're going to blow up an RV, and that's pretty cool. So
we got fucking 20 pounds of Tannerite, and we're going to blow up an RV, I think.
That's our style. That's all we're into. Thanks for listening, guys. If we get time, write a little. review, maybe give a little rating to this podcast and check out our website, gunsblazingpodcast.com. We might have something on there you'll like. Shows. Oh, I got to. I'm going to be in Rhythm City in on March 4th in Davenport, Iowa. If you're not doing anything, you live around that area. I keep forgetting about that show, but that's a cool place. It's a really cool place to go to. And I think I'm going to stay an extra night or two and just party because I'm in a casino. Fuck it.
Do your thing, bro. Why not have fun?
That's right. All right, brother. Let's get out of here. Love you.
All right. Love you too, buddy. Talk to you tomorrow.